We were alone in the room, and Yasuda-san put his beer glass down on the table in a way that made me blush. He reached out for my hand, and I gave it to him, expecting that he wanted to hold it a long moment in both of his before letting it go again. But to my surprise, he brought it quickly to his lips and began kissing the inside of my wrist quite passionately, in a way I could feel as far down as my knees. I think of myself as an obedient woman. Up until this time, I'd generally done the things told to me by Mother or Mameha or even Hatsumomo when I'd had no other choice. But I felt such a combination of anger at Mother and longing for Yasuda-san that I made up my mind right then to do the very thing Mother had ordered me most explicitly not to do. I asked him to meet me in that very tea house at midnight, and I left him there alone. Just before midnight, I came back and spoke to a young maid. I promised her an indecent sum of money if she would see to it that no one disturbed Yasuda-san and me in one of the upstairs rooms for half an hour. I was already there, waiting in the dark, when the maid slid open the door and Yasuda-san stepped inside. He dropped his fedora onto the mats and pulled me to my feet even before the door was closed. To press my body against his felt so satisfying, like a meal after a long spell of hunger. No matter how hard he pressed himself against me, I pressed back harder. Somehow, I wasn't shocked to see how expertly his hands slipped through the seams in my clothing to find my skin. I won't pretend I experienced none of the clumsy moments I was accustomed to with the general, but I certainly didn't notice them in the same way. My encounters with the general reminded me of a time as a child when I'd struggled to climb a tree and pluck away a certain leaf at the top. It was all a matter of careful movements, bearing the discomfort until I finally reached my goal. But with Yasuda-san, I felt like a child running freely down a hill. Sometime later, when we lay exhausted upon the mats together, I moved his shirt tail aside and put my hand on his stomach to feel his breathing. I had never in my life been so close to another human being before, though we hadn't spoken a word. It was only then that I understood. It was one thing to lie still on the futon for the doctor or the general. It would be something quite different with the chairman. Many a geisha's day-to-day life has changed dramatically after taking a dana, but in my case, I could hardly see any change at all. I still made the rounds of Gion at night, just as I had over the past few years. From time to time, during the afternoons, I went on excursions, including some very peculiar ones, such as accompanying a man on his visit to his brother in the hospital. But as for the changes I'd expected, the prominent dance recitals paid for by my dana, lavish gifts provided by him, even a day or two of paid leisure time, well, none of these things happened. It was just as Mother had said. Military men didn't take care of a geisha the way a businessman or an aristocrat did.